Hebrews chapter 12 and at verse 25. Listen to God's word as we read it together. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading tonight. Hebrews chapter 12 and at verse 25. Listen to God's word as we read it together. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. For if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this, yet once more, indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Amen. May God add his blessing to this reading tonight. As we come to the end of another year and stand, as it were, on the threshold of yet another year in the will of God, I said this morning and I'll say it again tonight, it's always a good time to pause and to reflect. To reflect as a believer in the goodness of God and in the grace of God in our lives and in all the blessings that God has lavished upon us in the year that is gone. For so often, and perhaps too often, we take our blessings for granted. Tonight, as we come to these verses I've read to you, there are many ways in which we could approach them. But I want to approach them tonight under one simple thought. Don't stop listening to the voice of God. Don't stop listening to the voice of God. If we're a Christian tonight, and Evie has shared this with us as I've asked her some questions pertaining to her faith, but she read about the plan and the purpose of God, and she asked us to pray for her as we should, not just for her, but for all our young people, that they might find that plan and purpose in their lives, that they might be where God wants them to be, and that they might do what God wants them to do. But that's not just true, is it, of young people starting out on their journey through the Christian life. That should be true of every single Christian, whatever our age, no matter how long we have been on the Christian journey. We should all still be seeking and praying for God to fulfill his plan and his purpose in our lives. Sometimes as Christians, we get into what I often refer to as a comfort zone. And sometimes even we as Christians stop listening to the voice of God. One reason is because that might be too demanding. We don't want to be taken any further than we've gone. We don't want to be stretched any more than we have been in the past. We really don't want to, in the latter years of our journey, be launching out into the unknown waters of life, into unknown territory, just in case God might want to use us. God might want to send us. God might want to bless us. God might want to make us somewhere, to somebody, a blessing in days to come. Brother or sister in Christ tonight, I encourage you, first of all, as we step out into the year 2013, be open to the Word of God. Be prepared to do the will of God. Be engaged in the work of God. Whatever it is that God asks us to do, let us do it wholeheartedly, putting our whole heart, our whole effort into it, that God might continue to work out His plan and His purpose for our lives. It would be a tragedy if those of us who were saved tonight stopped listening to the voice of God and perhaps felt that we had somehow reached what we wanted to reach or have gone as far as we want to go. This Christian journey that we're on tonight is something that makes us continually strive for more and for better in our onward journey through life. So I encourage you, as a brother and sister in Christ just now, don't stop listening to the voice of God. What God says, do it. Where God sends, go. When God directs, be obedient to His voice. But maybe it is that we've been sitting, and for the last year that has gone, and perhaps for some of us, not just one year, but many other years, we have sat under the sound of God's Word. We know that as far as salvation is concerned, we know that we need it. We know that as far as sin is concerned, we know that we're guilty. Guilty in the sight of a thrice holy God. As far as being saved is concerned, we know how we can be saved. As far as eternity is concerned, we know that we'll either be in heaven or in hell. Now, these are things that we already know. And because we know them, sometimes we do not treat them as seriously as we should. Sometimes we put them to the back of our minds. Sometimes we bury them outside of life altogether, and thereby we too stop listening to the voice of God. Perhaps we feel that we'll always have another opportunity. Perhaps we feel we'll always have a better opportunity. Perhaps we live with this idea that we just will go on forever, that every year will just ebb and flow, and somewhere along the journey of life we'll pause. And we'll think about our sin, and we'll think about our soul, and we'll think about salvation. And when it suits me, I'll make my peace with God. Doesn't work like that. Some of you may be thinking, well, I'll just wait for another time, another opportunity, another year. Did you not listen to what Stephen read to us from God's Word tonight? For what is your life? What's it all about? Your life and mine, just like a vapor, the steam of a boiled kettle. One moment we're here, and the next moment we're gone. And the big question always has to be asked, because this is the big question that always remains. Gone. But gone where? Gone where? So I'm going to encourage you tonight, if you're not a Christian, don't stop listening to the voice of God. Why? Well, come for a moment. I'll watch the clock. Don't worry about that. But come to Hebrews 12 here for a moment, where the writer does at least two things. He shows us Jesus Christ as our great high priest and how he sets the example we're to follow. He speaks about discipline and chastisement from the hand of God, and he reminds us God disciplines his children, or he chastens them, because he loves them. And then he gives a series of warnings or instructions as he urges his readers to be sure that they listen carefully to the voice of God. And in verse 25, this text comes, which is our text for this evening. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. Why? Well, because this is a timely exhortation. Timely exhortation. As one year disappears and another year comes, in the will of God, no guarantees, but in the will of God, as another year dawns upon your life and mine, you must decide what you're going to do about your sin. Your sin is an affront to God. Your sin separates you from God. Your sin will one day banish you out into the depths of an awful hell until or unless that sin is dealt with. And there's no better opportunity for you to consider that than in this meeting just now. You must decide what you're going to do about your sin. Are you going to bring it to Jesus Christ and trust him as your Savior? After all, he's the one who came to be our sin bearer. Are you going to turn to him? Are you going to trust him? Or are you going to continue to live in sin? You must decide what you're going to do about your soul. Your soul is the most important possession that you have. And yet you're in danger of losing it. I sat down and smiled. Evie won't mind me saying that. I sat down and smiled when she told me the hymn that we were going to sing tonight. Because when I went to all the books I had in my study, I couldn't find it. And then I had to hoke about, and I got help, and I found both the words and the music. But you know, the words are true. Whatever era, whatever age, the words are true. As far as your soul is concerned, you must decide what you're going to do with it. And decide tonight, would you rather have Jesus as your Savior? Or would you rather live in the world? Would you rather just get on with life and seeking all those things that the world is supposed to give us, like fame and fortune and popularity and prestige, possessions, all of the things that so many in our world tonight are craving for? Is that what you want? Is it the world with all its attractions and all it has to offer, or is it Christ? Because you see, your soul is of the utmost importance, and you're in danger of losing it. You must decide about your sin. You must decide about your soul. You must decide about salvation. Because there's one thing absolutely sure, and I have no doubt about this, that even every Sunday night for the past year, or for the past 10 years, or for the past 50 years, you may have sat and heard the gospel and rejected every invitation that was extended to you through the gospel of God's grace, but yet God in his love again tonight is willing to extend that same invitation, that you might have salvation. You say, Pastor, after all these years of rebellion, after these years of disobedience and neglect of my soul and living in sin, yes. It's not the will of God that any one of us should perish. God has made provision in Christ for your sin and for mine. And tonight he extends an invitation for you to leave your sin and to turn from it and to turn to Jesus Christ and to trust him as your Savior. You'll never have a better opportunity. And I can't tell you tonight that you'll ever have another opportunity. What an exhortation this is. See that you do not refuse him that speaks. I could go on tonight and I won't. But I could go on tonight and speak about the various ways in which God has spoken. That leaves you without excuse. That leaves me without excuse. He's spoken through creation, through the Word of God, through the Son of God. He has spoken in various ways. And tonight this exhortation comes to you afresh. It challenges your heart again. See that you do not refuse him who speaks. But it's not just this exhortation. I want you to look here at an example. Because you see, behind what is said here, we read this in verse 25 and 26. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. And listen to this. Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. You see, the writer now gives us an example of the nation of Israel of old and how they reacted whenever God spoke to them. It's a tragic example. And we could spend the rest of the night just considering how God in his grace had chosen Israel above all the nations of the world, how he had redeemed them out of their bondage in Egypt, how he had been so good to them in leading and feeding and blessing and protecting. The list is endless. And he did all of this as he sought to lead them on to the place of blessing. But the scriptures record for us, they wouldn't listen to the voice of God. They rebelled on more than one occasion. They disobeyed God. They broke his laws. They flaunted themselves in sin in the sight of God. And God had to deal with them. Because these people, by way of example, recorded here in Hebrews chapter 12, are a people whose lives were filled with complacency. They didn't treat God seriously. They didn't treat his word seriously. They were complacent, and therefore their complacency led to rebellion. And I would encourage you tonight not to be complacent. If you're not a Christian and you know that you need to be saved, why put it off? Why wait to another meeting? Why wait for another year? Why wait for another opportunity? Why trail your feet spiritually, hoping that somehow, sometime, somewhere, this might all work out, when tonight you could come as a sinner to Jesus? You could come right now. You could even bow your head and heart as you're sitting in this meeting and say, Lord, I've wasted many years and now I'm coming home. I'm not going to be complacent any longer. I'm not going to treat this the way I've done for years. I'm going to come and trust Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I'm going to do it now. You can learn from the example of these people of old who were complacent and carnal, and I mean that carnal. Well, you see, this occasion spoken of, and many other occasions remind us of what they were like. You could just think of Moses up on the mountaintop receiving the Ten Commandments from God and coming down the mountain with the two tablets of stone in his hand. And even when he's on the mountaintop receiving these laws, these principles for living, the people are reveling in their sin at the foot of the mountain, dancing before a molten calf, told that these are your gods, O Israel. And they flaunted themselves in sin, and God judged them for it. Now, all the examples that you and I find in Scripture, they're there for our learning. They're there because God wants us to think about them, He wants us to learn lessons from the past, lessons from his own people, lessons from the pages of Scripture, so that we don't make the same mistakes, so that we don't show the same complacency, so we don't show the same carnality. For one day, as God did with them, he will do with your life and he'll do with mine. He'll draw a line in the sand and he'll say, no further. No further. But you know, this is a very interesting example for this reason. Not only God, through his word, encouraged them to obey his word and to be what he wanted them to be, because of their complacency and carnality, there was something that was going to happen in days to come for those who follow their example. God had spoken to the nation in the past, displayed his anger against them. They couldn't escape the judgment of God. And the writer to the Hebrews reminds us of that same thing. For here's what he says, and it's both serious and solemn. It'll be a day that is most traumatic. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Can you imagine that? Just last week we had another report of a great earthquake. And every time the land moves on, the tsunami warning goes out, we hear immediately on the news of an earthquake that was perhaps 6.5 or 7.1 on the Richter scale. And these are traumatic, terrifying events. When you see people who hear the warning running for higher ground, expecting that perhaps a flood is going to come in and consume them, you can understand how traumatic it is. And yet the writer to the Hebrews tells us this, there's a day coming when God will not only shake the earth, he will shake the heavens also. There is what you and I might call tonight a great earth shake. Not an earthquake, that's bad enough. But a great earth shake. Why? There's a day coming when everything that is temporal will be done away with, and only that which is eternal will remain. That's why this example is so important. There's a day coming when God will shake both the heavens and the earth, and the only thing that will matter on that day is your relationship and mine with God. Do you see the things we build our lives upon? The silver and gold, and the fame and fortune, and the houses and this and that and the other thing. No lasting value. They'll not stand the test. This world is only fleeting. But when it comes to salvation, well, that's a different matter. Paul doesn't include this in Romans 8, but he could have done. For no earth shake will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you remember the words Paul used at the end of Romans 8? I'm persuaded, absolutely convinced, neither death nor life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Friend, if you're in Christ tonight, you're on the winning side. If you're in Christ tonight, you have absolutely nothing to fear. But if you're not a Christian, can I ask you what you've got to hold on to as far as eternity is concerned? Where will you find refuge for your soul? To whom will you flee from the awful wrath of God to come? Can I say this as I come to a close? If it's not Christ, then nothing will suffice. If you're not in Christ, nothing can secure you. And no one else can save you. If you're not in Christ, you're not only vulnerable, but one day swept away by the tides of God's wrath. Is it any wonder here then that the writer says it, and says it simply and solemnly? See that you do not refuse him who speaks. What an exhortation that is. What about your sin? What about your soul? What about salvation? What about the Savior? For this example is most solemn. When all said and done, and you and this old world has run its course, the only thing that matters is yours and mine. Our relationship with God. If you're not saved tonight, I urge you, absolutely urge you, to think about this. A year is gone. Nobody knows, and Stephen said this in his reading, nobody knows what a year will bring forth. Any one of us could be swept out into eternity. And that's why you need to be in Christ. That's why you need to listen to the voice of God. See that you do not refuse him who speaks to you. If you do, it'll be costly. The example's here. But the exhortation is that you do something about it now. Because behold, now is the day of salvation.